If you want more time, money, freedom, and have a business that's not reliant on you, then you're in the right place. Each week, Mark Creedon, along with some of the very best business minds in the world, will take you through simple, practical steps you can take to create the business you always wanted. From his own practical experience, Mark will show you how to work less, make more, and get the business you always wanted, the one that you deserve. Now here's your host, one of Australia's most sought-after business coaches, Mark Creedon.
Well, welcome back to the Mastermind for Business podcast, episode 2. Hey, do you wish that you could get the people around you to do a lot more of the things that you're currently doing so that you could have more time, more money, more freedom? In this episode, I'm going to show you the four reasons why delegation isn't working for you and four things you can do about it. Let's get into it. Let's talk about the problems first before we get into the solutions. I think the reason why delegation doesn't work is generally there's kind of four things. One is a lack of confidence, not confidence in you, but confidence in your team. So the reason that you don't delegate some of the more serious tasks, some of the bigger tasks and responsibilities in your business, and the reason you hold them close is because you just don't have confidence in them. You don't trust that they can carry it through. The second thing I think is really around, I often hear this, it's just easier if I do it myself. So that it's quicker and easier. The problem with that is that's really a short-term solution to a long-term problem. People think it's just easier if I do it myself. I think the other one is this fallacy that we have as business owners of omnipotence. We think that because we own the business, we started the business, that only we know how to do this. Nobody can do it as well as me. You know, every time I fight a dollar for every time I've heard a business owner say that, talk to them about delegating, giving things to their team. And what I get from them is, nobody can do it as well as I can. There's this fallacy of omnipotence. And then I think the other one is just this fear of losing control. I remember having a conversation with a business owner in Sydney a few years ago, and we were talking about how he needed to give a lot of the tasks away to someone else. And he said to me, but you know, this is like my firstborn, and this is my baby. This business is mine. If I'm going to hand this responsibility over, I feel like I'm losing control of something that is mine. They are the four most common things that I see when we talk about delegation, letting go, letting other people do things. Let's talk about those four problems. We're going to speak about each of those problems and give you some ideas about the things that you can do with each of those. And then I'm going to give you four really simple guidelines, which are universal for delegation, and it's going to make delegation so much simpler for you. Let's get into that. Let's talk about the first problem around confidence. The reason that you don't have confidence in your team is because you haven't spent the time training them. You haven't invested time in upskilling them to the point that you feel confident. That's number one. I think the other thing is, I remember reading an article and it quoted Colin Powell, General Colin Powell, and he was talking about, do things have to be, 100% bang on? And essentially, his view is this. If it gets to the point where it's 70% right, then that's a good enough plan to run ahead with. And so what I'm always saying to my mastermind clients, if you have somebody that you're looking to delegating something to, and they can do it at 70% of the level that you would, it's 70% right, that's a damn good start, right? If you can get them to the point where they're doing it at 70%, because what will happen over time is over time, experience, more training, knowledge, they're going to grow on that 70%. They're going to move that 70% up and they're going to be up close to 100% or 90%. I was having a conversation with a financial planner recently, somebody in our mastermind group, and he said to me, I can't get this para planner that I've got to write this report because he doesn't have exactly the same knowledge as me. It's not as good as my report. My question back was, where do you reckon it's at? Is he at, 60%, 50%, 70%? Oh, he's probably at about 80%. Would a client know the difference? The answer was no. It complied with all the legislation. It was cracking advice. It served the client's purposes and it served them really well. it just didn't have some of the nuances that the more experienced person would have had. And it's a trap that we fall into. We think that we don't have the confidence because either we haven't trained them enough, we haven't invested in them, or because we think they've got to be at the 100% mark. So number one, if it's around confidence, so when you talk about delegating things in your business, if you think, oh, I just don't know that, you know, I've got the confidence in them, you need to ask yourself those two questions. Number one, have I actually spent time in training them? And number two, is it the case that I'm waiting for someone to be at the 100% mark, right, rather than just the 70% mark? That's number one. Let's look at number two. It's just easier myself. My short-term solution, long-term problem, because if it's easier for you to do it yourself, then you're just going to keep doing it yourself and your business will never scale. In another episode of the Mastermind for Business podcast, we're going to talk about the concept of scaling, but I'll share this with you. Scaling in and of itself, it's not a strategy as such, right? Scaling is simply the outcome of doing a number of things, usually a whole range of small things, consistently and consistently well. So if you're going to look at letting go, you have to let go. If you keep holding on to, you know, it's easier to do it myself, rather than investing the time in bringing people up to speed, getting them to the point where they're at least at the 70% mark, then you are never going to scale because everything is going to rely on you. All roads lead to you. You become the bottleneck. And can I tell you, with most of the people, when we first talk to them, you know, as they come into a mastermind program, one of the probably the most common issue I see is that they are in fact the bottleneck in their business. So if you're listening to this and you think that you are the bottleneck in your business, ask yourself that question. Am I not taking the time to invest in my people or letting go because, you know, I'm not accepting that at the 70% mark, it's okay. The third thing is around about losing control. And it's pretty common really, because we think, you know, as I said, this is my baby, you know, I don't want to lose control of it. You can see that there's a real link here because you won't lose control if you have confidence in your team and if you accept that you can get them to 70 or 80% mark and then they can deliver for you, then you won't lose control. In fact, what happens is the more that you let go of the day-to-day operational things or the things that are not the highest and best use of your time, the more time that you will have to spend on regaining control, supervising, managing, looking at the strategy of the business and actually working on those scaling components. I think the last thing is that fallacy of omnipotence, right? Where we just think, well, you know, nobody knows it better than me, right? I've been doing this all along. I've got 30 years experience or whatever it might be for you. Nobody can do it as well as I can. You'll see a link here, right? This nobody can do it as well as me. You know what? You may be right. Maybe nobody can do it as well as you. But if you can get somebody to do it to that 70 or 80% mark, that's going to be a massive difference for you. It's going to free you up and give you the opportunity to work on other things in your business. So what I do and what I always encourage my clients to do is this. Think about this. How can I build my confidence? What's missing in terms of training and what can I do there? And then as I look at delegating things, I'm going to come back to some four simple general rules of delegation shortly. But as I'm looking at delegating things, you know, what can I do to build my confidence, to make it feel more like I've passed over to somebody who can at least get things 70 to 80% right? If you can work on those things, you're going to find that you will free up time, you'll free up control. And that in turn will give you the opportunity to generate more revenue into your business. So I always look at it in terms of gains and drains. You look at the things that are draining you, they're the things you delegate, the time that you free up, you fill that up with gains. Get rid of the drains, replace it with gains, and you'll watch your business scale. Let's talk about the four general rules when it comes to delegation, because I think there's really four very simple principles that if you get right, then you will increase your delegation scores. By the way, you might be listening to this right now going, yeah, do you know what? I'm actually already a brilliant delegator because I give a whole bunch of jobs away to other people all the time. It's more than just jobs, and we're going to get to that in just a second. Let's look at the first three general rules of delegation first. first thing I think when you delegate something to somebody is you have to make sure that the expectations are absolutely 100% crystal clear. And the way that you do that is by explaining what it is that you expect and asking the person to repeat back to you what it is that you've said, right? So you need to know that there's clarity between you and them as to exactly what it is that you expect. Rule number one, expectations are crystal clear. Rule number two, you've got to make sure they've got all of the skills, tools, and resources available to them to be able to carry out what you've delegated to them. There's no sense in delegating to somebody, and this sort of gets back to what we spoke about before about the concept of confidence. There's no sense in delegating something to someone where it's just not going to work because they actually don't have the skills to do it, or they don't have the tools or the resources. You've got to make sure they've got all of the skills, the tools, and the resources to be able to carry it out. Number three, and this is the one I think that most people miss. Well, actually, the next two are the things that people miss the most. The first one is you've got to have really clear and solid reporting protocols in place. So in other words, what that means is if I delegate something to you, number one, we've got expectations crystal clear. Number two, I know you've got the skills, the tools, and the resources to be able to do it. Now, let's talk about, hey, I need this done by, you know, Friday week. Come back to me on Wednesday week and let me know how you're traveling. If you follow those three simple steps, those three general rules around delegation, you're going to watch your delegation score just skyrocket, and you're going to be amazed at how much more gets done in your business by others other than just you. And that's going to give you the opportunity to either work on scaling the business, to get some freedom back, to spend more time with your friends and family, playing golf, whatever it might be that you really like to do. And remember, that's probably why you started your business in the first place. You started your business in the first place because you didn't want to work for somebody else. You wanted to have the time, the money, the freedom that you thought would come from being the master of your own destiny, running your own business. And yet what we find is that the vast majority of small to medium business owners then find themselves not in that position. They find themselves enslaved to their business. Follow those three simple steps, but wait, there's one more. It sounds like a Demtel ad, doesn't it? But there's one more. And the final one is this. When you delegate, you've got to remember that what you are delegating is not the task, but the responsibility for the task. Now, I learned this really young. I was about 20. I was working for a large firm in the city, and I went into one of the directors. He'd given me a task, and I went and I said, "Oh, look, you know, I've got to this point, but I don't know what to do next." And he looked at me and he said, "Well, son, this business can only afford one person that doesn't know what to do, and I don't know what to do either." So I learned pretty early that really what he was doing there was teaching me that he hadn't given me the job to do. He'd given me the responsibility for the job. So I had to go from being part of the problem to being part of the solution. I had to go back into him and go, right, listen, I'm a little bit stuck on this, but I've got some ideas of what I think I can do. How do you delegate responsibility rather than just the task is by following those other three rules, right? Making sure that the expectations are crystal clear, that they've got all of the skills, tools, and resources they need, and then that you've got some reporting processes in place. But if somebody that you've delegated something to comes back to you mid-task or mid-responsibility and says, "Oh, I'm just a little bit confused, I'm not really sure what to do next," rather than answering that question by telling them what to do, you need to practice the old coach's trick of answering a question with a question. And it's simple things like, "Right, fantastic. Thanks for coming back to me. What do you think you can do? What do you think the options are that are open to you? Who else could you get to help you? Where else could you find the answer?" So a quick recap on those. You've delegated the responsibility. They've come back to you mid-task and said, "Hey, I don't know what to do next." Rather than just saying, "Yep, here's what it is," because that's where you fall into that fallacy of omnipotence that we spoke about before. Like, I'm the smartest person in the room, right? I can tell you what to do. What you need to do is simply go back and go, "Great, I'm pleased that you've come back to me. Let me ask you a couple of questions. What do you think you could do? Number one. Number two, what do you think your options are? Number three, where else do you think you could get some help? And who else might you be able to get those answers from?" They are the basic principles of delegation. The thing is this, if you get the delegation process right, now this is whether you're delegating internally, whether you're delegating externally to outsourced or offshore staff, if you get the delegation right, it's going to free you up with some time. So you get rid of the drains or the pains that you're struggling with, you've then got free time and you can use that for the gains. So that is about spending more time either working on your business, working on scaling components, more time with your family, more time for you, more time on developing the business, you know, talking to clients, talking to alliance partners and getting more business in the door. You will not find that spare time if you don't go about the process of getting delegation right. Really quick recap. Four rules, I think, four general rules of delegation. Number one, make sure the expectations are super, super clear. Number two, make sure they've got the skills, the tools, and the resources to be able to do it. Number three, make sure there's a time-based reporting process in place, right? It isn't, I need it done by Friday. It's, I need it done by Friday. Let me know how you're traveling on Wednesday. And number four, remember this. When you delegate, you're not delegating the task. You're actually delegating responsibility for the task. Follow those simple rules. Watch your time free up, and you're going to be surprised how much time you get back. Hey, thanks for joining us in today's episode of the Mastermind for Business podcast. If you know someone who is in a service business and they'd like to learn how they can double their revenue, halve their time in the business in 18 months or less, do me a favor. Why don't you just share this podcast with them and tell them the great benefit that you've got? Hey, if you'd like to talk about how we can help you to do that in your business, jump on to mastermindforbusiness.com.au. We'd love to have a chat to you, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for joining us on the Mastermind for Business podcast. If you're ready to have a business that you're not a slave to, check out metropolemastermind.com.au. Or have a chat with Mark and the team at allthews.com.au. See what's possible. Today.